Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
You know how some people start podcast episodes like, "What's up, you guys? It's Eric." I wish I was cool enough to do that. I feel like I'm more like a, "Hi, it's Eric." So I think I'm just going to do that. "Hi, it's Eric." Welcome, you guys, to That's a Gay-Ass Podcast. Ugh, I've been wanting to do something like this for a very long time, and it's recently come to my attention that if you want to do something, the rules allow you to do it. So I'm doing it, mama. She's doing it. Today's episode is with Ashley Gavin, a stand-up comedian and host of We're Having Gay Sex, an incredible podcast that discusses the science behind cytokinesis and phenotyping. No, I'm kidding. They talk about fucking. They talk about a lot of gay shit, lots of sex. It is very hilarious. You need to listen. But our conversation today is so much fun. Ugh, we had a great time talking, but I do need to give a disclaimer. Listen. At one point, Ashley asked me the name of the actress who plays Charlotte in Sex and the City. I do respond with the incorrect name, okay? I do not say the right name, but 2 minutes later, the situation is rectified and I do say the correct name, okay? So before you call the gay police, sound the alarms, and get your chromatica thong in a twist, just know I fix it, okay? The crisis is averted. Thanks so much for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and please make sure to subscribe. I am doing a giveaway. This is a real thing. If you DM me a screenshot that you've subscribed, I will enter you into a raffle where you might be one of three people to win Lady Gaga Chromatica Oreos. Okay, I will ship them to you with a personalized poem. This is real. We got to show the algorithm who's boss and get enough downloads so that Whoopi Goldberg notices us. So drop a review, tell your friends, and enjoy. Oh my gosh, I'm so happy you're here. This is a dream.
No.
Ashley.
I am worthless and annoying. I am late. My cat is knocking his shit over. I dropped my microphone on the ground. We're going to find out whether or not I did any damage to it. You're going to find out the hard way. And
so far, so good, though. I think you're kind of, it's just putting you into the frame of reference to really just let loose, to really just like speak from the top of your mind. I think this is good. I think this
okay.
is good. I do feel like I have gay podcast royalty in front of me right now. I do feel that way.
That's really nice. And I would love to agree with you. Today, I woke up feeling like I have accomplished nothing. You know, when you wake up and you're just like, even if things are going well, you're just like, you're a little piece of shit. Look at Amanda Gorman. Look at Amanda Gorman telling up with all her talent and just stardom and
I'll never be Amanda Gorman. I'm shit.
She's just accomplished so much. And I think I was watching her. And obviously, she is brilliant and deserves everything and has been working so hard for this moment. And
but also, you think she's 23 years old, and then you think, what have I done?
Exactly. That's exactly where I'm at. I'm at 33 being like, I am not Amanda Gorman 10 years ago, so what am I even? Why am I even? They didn't ask me to do a set at the most important inauguration since the 1800s.
You're allowing yourself to feel disappointed that you weren't asked to do the inaugural address. I mean, listen, I'm here. I'm sent by the universe to tell you right now, you are more than enough. You're a gosh darn star, and you have
Thank
done
you.
So much.
It.
You may not feel this way, but from my perspective looking in, you've done it. You're doing
Thank
it.
You.
You're doing it.
I appreciate it. It's been, I have been very fortunate this year. And one thing that I love about podcasts that I'm trying to do for other people, podcasters so much nicer with their resources and their attitude towards competition. than I've had with comedians and other actors. And so I want to continue that. Every podcaster has just been like, yes, I will do your podcast. Yes, I will promote it. You know, like, yes, I will post the link. Yes, I will do all those things. So that's just the wonderful thing about podcast. Like, there's enough to go around. So
yes, that is so wonderful. And the fact that you're here is just like, I'm the most grateful. And without gassing up too much, I just want you to know, like, I really am a fan and I'm just so happy you're here. And I'm so
a fan of you, listener. Here is how I know Eric, who when I first met him, I would go around the house being like, Eric, Daniel, William, Bradley, Todd, David.
That is my white man name. That is my white man name.
Is the one of the most talented people I've ever seen. We met in a casting no one cares about this, but I'm telling them anyway. We met in a casting class, which is where actors who are very good but somehow underutilized, two of those people. There's two really talented people in the class, and then there are eight maniacs, and anyone can go to these things. And a real casting director, like a very fancy, like a works on Emmy award winning shows casting director, will read with you and give you feedback. And you hope, you pray that within 2 weeks of seeing this casting director, something comes across their desk that would be perfect for you. And they're like, oh my God, I just saw so-and-so. And then they would put you in the thing. And we met in one of those classes and you almost made me cry. In the fucking casting director class. Meanwhile, there's some schlub from Jersey behind me being like, I've been in this industry for a really long time. I know what I'm doing. I don't need any feedback from this bitch. I'm going to do it the way that I want to do it. And then he reads like something from Hamlet and you're like, what the fuck is your problem? Meanwhile, Eric is so talented.
Oh my God, I'm dying. I mean, that is such a brilliant visual of that fucking class. It's devastating to look around a room of people who have not worked in 15 years. And then you're thinking to yourself, this is going to be it. And then you wait the 2 weeks. And of course, you never hear from the casting director. I mean, one in a million, something goes across their desk. But yeah, Ashley and I met in that class. And of course, the feeling is mutual. We were both, and I actually looked through my emails, Ashley, and you sent me an email after that. And I was like, hey, I thought you were great. I want to keep track of you. And let's, you know, keep in touch. And it,
you're so good.
Oh my gosh. Well, it's the universe brought us together and I'm so grateful it did, because you're doing the thing and that's a gay ass podcast. And wow, if you don't listen, she's figuring it out.
I'm plugging in my computer and I knocked over a LaCroix. This is just, not going well, Eric.
Ashley.
Okay. I threw one tissue on it. I feel like that'll be enough to stop any further damage.
Stop the spillage.
Let's go. Let's do it. Gay ass podcast. Let's go.
Well, I mean, if you don't listen to We're Having Gay Sex, my listeners right now, you must. It is such a good podcast. I mean, it's not only hilarious, but I was telling someone, I was actually pitching you to someone recently. I was like, Ashley Gavin has a podcast. If I were a young closet or newly out person, it would have been a godsend to hear these people talk about gay sex, to make it normal, and like to demystify what it is about sex that people are too afraid to talk about, or like you don't see in movies and shit. And I think it's just like fucking amazing to listen to gay people be like, yeah, I rub my vagina on this person's vagina. I love sucking dick. I sucked a dick 2 days ago and hear the details about the dick. If I was listening to the details about a dick getting sucked, I would be like, I'm going to shut down LimeWire and just listen to my earpods.
Oh my God, LimeWire. I only downloaded porn once, I think. And then I was like, I had like that post-masturbation shame. And I didn't even come when I was a kid. I didn't come till I get to college. So I just had like mid-masturbation shame and I was like, I got to get this off my computer. But we had to download porn, kids. That's how old we are. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know. The podcast, I didn't know what it would do for people. Like, I didn't know that it would be so impactful on particularly young people.
Yes.
Their lives. And people will message me. I'm really not trying to brag. People will message me and be like, oh, I came out because of your podcast. And I'm always like, what part? Because I'm talking about eating ass. So if that's what all it took, good. I'm so glad. Congratulations.
They heard about the ass being eaten. They were like, I want a part of that. Mom and dad, I'm gay.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it's been a wild ride and I'm glad people need more of this, because apparently it's great for straight people too. I get messages from straight people being, oh my gosh, I've just like missed out on so much. You know, I didn't know all this stuff. And I just think there's just been a total lack of representation around, like, girl talk. You know, obviously there are guys and trans people and non-binary people on the podcast too. But, like, I classify it all as girl talk. Like,
yes,
hanging out, talking about sex with your friends. That doesn't exist for gay people. It's never existed for gay people. And I didn't realize how much people were missing that.
Totally. And I'm realizing right now, actually, let's, like, speaking of girl talk, my high school friends, of course, were all women. And I had, like, such a sisterhood with them. But also, yeah, I couldn't talk about so much of what was actually going on with me. So I think the podcast is that inner monologue of, like, if I could talk to my girlfriends about the things I actually want to do, or the things I fantasize about, or the things that feel so dirty to me. I mean, I was under such a spell of trying to have straight thoughts sexually when I was coming to terms. I would be in the shower and try to, like, self love by thinking about Kim Cattrall and Sex in the City, when I realized I didn't want to have sex with Kim Cattrall. I wanted to hang out and then have sex with the men she had sex with.
Right. You wanted the, yeah. Oh my God. What a strange choice. If I had to pick anyone that I would jerk off to from Sex in the City, it would actually be Charlotte.
I mean, I don't disagree. I think Charlotte is a stun, but Kim Cattrall,
her character, what's her name?
We're
in trouble. We are in big trouble. The listeners at home are freaking out.
There's sirens ringing right now. Kristen York.
Okay. She is so beautiful. She's stunning and very much my type, although Charlotte is not my type. My type on the show is obviously Miranda.
I mean, of course.
I want the lawyer. Like, I want the... although I guess they're all sort of powerhouses in their own way. That's the point of the show.
But do you want the lawyer because of her job and the money it'll bring?
I'm more into the person attached to, they don't have to be a lawyer. Like, if they were, like, working at a super fancy nonprofit, like, or not even a super, like, they started a nonprofit and they're making, like, no money, but, like, they are the founder of Give Girls Books. I don't know, whatever the fucking name of the frogs for the rainforest. I don't know, but they're, like, running it. I would be so into that. I like really powerful, intelligent women.
Yes, I love that. And I have to say that my gay card is being revoked because I said her name was Kristen York. Her name is Kristen Davis. I'm devastated.
York didn't sound right, but I didn't want to fight you on it because I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. He's gay. I know.
And I saw it flash in your eyeballs when you were like, I'm just going to go with this. And I do appreciate that. But you know, we would get there. You knew we would get there because we.
But did. I didn't know it was Davis. I couldn't correct you.
Right. You're like, no, it's not. Beat, beat. But I don't know what it is.
You can just edit it back in. You can just say Davis and then put it back in over, and we can eliminate this entire part of the conversation.
Okay, we're cutting out 10 minutes already. Gorgeous. Well, this is the deal, is that I love to ask my guests here, what is it that made you gay? I mean, obviously you're this kind of incredible, fully formed lesbian woman. However, do you remember you saw something that was like, oh shit, this is what's happening? Was it a movie, TV show, porn, sandwich? What was it?
My earliest gay memory, I must have been 4 or 5. I refused to wear a regular bathing suit. I wanted to wear shorts. So I would wear my shorts in the pool or at, you know, I don't remember if my mother made me wear a bathing suit at the beach. I think so. But I just really wanted to run around without a shirt on. Now that could be a trans thing. I'm mindful of that's probably similar. But the reason that I don't know. I just wanted to be the prince and save the princess. Like in Mario, I strongly identified with Mario. I wanted to save Princess Peach. I like remade Disney scenes like what my dad would film, and I would do remakes of scenes from Disney. In my mind, they were like shot for shot remakes, but if you went back and watched, they're just like total chaos because I'm actually 5. But like, you know, Aladdin, and at school, we did like a circus thing, and all I wanted in the entire world was a suit with a cummerbund so that I could be the ringleader of the circus. Like I was constantly trying to dress up and play these male roles. Mm-hmm. And I think I really was attracted to like, I didn't want to be a boy, but I wanted to like be able to participate in like more traditionally masculine things.
Absolutely. I find it interesting about Disney movies and cartoons, especially growing up when you're coming to terms with things, when you start to like fall in love with these cartoon characters. I had very confusing thoughts about Jafar. look at this man. He's an evil sultan. He has an annoying ass parrot. And yet I'm like, but what's going on underneath those robes? Do you know what I mean?
It's so gay. I've never thought about how fucking gay Jafar is.
Jafar is a queenie fucking gay.
Jafar is an old ass man who never made it as an actor. And now
I'm surprised I didn't meet Jafar in an Actors Connection class. We're trying to meet a casting director.
He's like just constantly talking about how horrible all of these productions are. You're like, Jafar, it's Hamilton. He's like, I don't care.
Their touring cast was not even equity at the start. It's like, shut up, Jafar.
Thank you for making that very specific reference. Yeah, he's certainly a gay man. Also, like the relationship, I wanted nothing more than to be Gaston in a production of Beauty and the Beast.
Oh my God.
I think Gaston. A killer Gaston.
I think you would too. I mean, there's so much there. And we could also give you like a gorgeous hairy chest via some makeup, get some Broadway level production there. Gaston, though, so you wanted to be Gaston. Of course, I wanted to be with Gaston, but I don't know why. I don't know why these evil characters are such a.
They're very frequently kind of gay. The evil Ursula, clearly drag queen.
Fully a drag queen. I mean, evil. The giant tits, the like beautiful, the crazy makeup, 100% a drag queen.
Yeah. But, or some sort of very, I mean, it's hard to say. Her gender is so strange. If Ursula were around today, I feel like Ursula would identify as like she, they. Like we're not really, either way, whatever works, you know?
100%.
Yeah. A lot of Disney villains. I'm trying to think too, who else is just like kind of gay and. Scar even is sort of gay too, now that I'm thinking about it.
Scar is definitely gay. I mean, look at the dark eye.
He's got a smoky eye for sure. A beautiful eye. Manicure.
I was going to say the phalanges, the finger
very
acting.
Billie Eilish. Really, yeah. Scar's vibe.
I don't know. Maybe there's some subtext to the creators of Disney making these villain characters so queer, but I don't know what they're trying to say. But clearly all the gay kids were like, I guess I'm a villain.
And that's why gay men are so mean.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That's
society's fault.
I will say that there's been a trend on this podcast. I was talking with some other guests about mean gay men, and there's definitely a thing there. It's so sad because you want there to be this like, knowing that we all went through the same thing, but some people took that trauma of coming out and just decided to be mean. Not all, of course, but
I don't know. I mean, I'm very intimidated by certain gay men, but I feel like once I don't know why that is though, now that I'm really thinking about it. I don't know if it's because, you know, I think a lot of lesbians are funny because you can use humor as a way. You can weaponize humor as a way to deflect some of your insecurities and as a way to connect with women. Like for me, when I was young, I was really funny and girls always thought that I was funny, and that's very attractive. So like, even though they might not have been attracted to me, I had this way to connect. I just absolutely loved being a class clown and having girls laugh at my jokes. It was just like the best. Like when I put that all together, like when puberty hit and I was funny and these girls were laughing at my jokes, I was like, oh, this is for me. Like this is where I need to be putting all my focus. And I think that's why you have so many lesbian comedians. They are certainly overrepresented. I don't want to say that there's enough lesbian comedy on Netflix. I don't think that's true, but there are a fuck ton of lesbian comedians at open mics. There are probably more lesbian comedians than straight women at the open mic.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And I wonder if gay men, and this is not my experience, this is more your experience, but I wonder if that humor is weaponized in a different way. You know what I mean? As protection.
Yeah, I think that there's maybe that and also the bullying that comes to straight men being mean to gay men. I think gay men learn that and then they start to maybe subconsciously weaponize that same type of bullying when they are lashing out or feeling uncomfortable. Because if we are getting deep here, I have to say I have some amazing gay male friends, but I'm not a part of like a group of gay men that we're going to get together. We're going to Hell's Kitchen. We're going to get...
I'm so intimidated by it. I'm so intimidated.
I've never had like a group like that. And it's maybe because I really can connect with people individually, but some of that group think, I think sometimes can be scary. I agree. I'm agreeing with you. It can be scary.
Yeah. My buddy Sam, Sam Morrison. He should do this. He's wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
He's great. But he is dating a much older man who has like a gaggle. And I'm always invited. And I'm the only woman there. And I'm like, I'm never going to keep up. I don't know the pop culture references. Like, I don't. What am I gonna? I can't cook. There's all these like little amuse-bouches, and I'm like, well, you know, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. So I just
her homes are dripping in West Elm. It's just
it's
all
so gorgeous. Much West Elm. There. Every wall is an accent wall. Every single one.
Every wall is a different bright, different color, but gorgeously curated with a gallery wall over here, a beautiful mirror over here.
It's stunning. I'm honestly thank God for quarantine. I haven't had to do it in a year.
There's a waterfall in the bathroom. I mean, the thing I'm like kind of making funny right now is like, of course, my husband and I are like deeply aspirational to have a home fully decked out in West Elm. I'm like, this is so silly. Yeah, we're like trying to save our pennies to buy a right, giant couch.
You're on Craigslist looking at those. Yes. I have a lot of hand-me-down West Elm.
I mean, I'm like, does anyone have a West Elm section? No, I don't care if it's 6 years old. We need to have it our apartment decked out one day. I think one day this is going to be a dream for me, but
I believe in you.
Thank you so much. So I am really interested, though, in you're the class clown. You're connecting with these women. Did any of these women that were loving your humor, did it ever become like apparent that they were also having feelings in that way towards you?
I feel like I was in a lot of secret relationships in late middle school, like eighth grade through all of high school, particularly a reoccurring one with a woman who I refer to as Rebecca on my podcast, though that is not her name.
Okay.
So I was deeply, deeply in love with Rebecca. I don't think I will love anyone the way that I loved Rebecca. She was so smart and cute. And we dated in secret in eighth grade and then again in ninth grade. And then we like hooked up senior year. And there were some other girls that I kind of hooked up with that were less important to me. And like, also just like, weird kind of relationships. I was in a lot, and even as an adult, I have been in so many weird kind of relationships with straight women where like they treat me like an emotional support system, like kind of the way that you would text all the time and talk all the time with a significant other, but nothing physical ever happened. And that is some shit that I played into for way too long. Like, I cannot believe that I degraded myself to like be someone's emotional boyfriend.
I hear that's a thing, though. I hear that's very much a thing, especially between women, because maybe there's blurred lines of like how female relationships can be very intimate, but then there's more of a blurred line when it comes to actual.
They can, but I feel like maybe it's harder when you're both straight, so you don't know where that line is. But for me, as like a gay person, I'm like, we are dating. Like, yeah. We text all the time. We talk all the time. Like, we're whether you like it or not, we are dating. This is just what's happening here. So I've gotten much more forward about being very early on, even if they're straight. I do not care. I'm very much like, so what is this? Like, almost immediately, like as soon as I meet a person, if we're flirting, I am not like leaving that up to deliberation.
I think that that's a very strong piece of advice, especially for people dating in general. I think there's so much people just trying to not rock the boat. And then next thing you know, you're a year in and you don't know what's going on. Because the most successful relationships I hear about are the ones with just the years you're describing. They're really upfront at the beginning. What are you looking for? What is your hope? And with my husband now, when we first started dating, I thought he was cute. I, of course, met him in person, but found him on Facebook, sent him a message. Hey, here's my phone number. Texted, hey, let's go out. We start dating, and I was pretty clear.
Yeah. Wait, I have a question. Please. You found him on Facebook? What does that mean? searching for on your, like, I'm, what's your husband's name?
It's Twinkie Bottom. I'm kidding.
You're like, I thought this was Pornhub, but this guy's pretty cute. I guess I'll message him.
Turns out it wasn't the guy I thought it was messaging. His name is Matt. We were in line for an audition for a very, very shitty production of Fiddler on the Roof in Wisconsin. But of course, we were so desperate to book it, we woke up at 6 a.m. to stand outside in November in the freezing cold.
This is the worst industry on the fucking planet.
What are we thinking, truly?
Also, and you're like a big deal. I forgot about Elf. I totally forgot about Elf. And yet here we are, both of us, being like podcasting because there's nothing else to fucking do. No one will book us. We've exactly. got a fucking elf over here. Jesus.
I mean, you don't know. I'm making millions of dollars from the elf production. I'm kidding. I'm still deeply poor. So we were in line for this musical and we were standing next to each other and I started to make conversation because I locked eyes with him and I'm like, this man is gorgeous. He has everything that really ticks off all my boxes. And so of course I make a dumb comment about it's cold outside. Oh, is that coffee? I have some tea in my hand. What are you drinking? We start to talk a little bit. Oh, we're wearing the same color shirt. You stole my shirt. Little banter, right? We then go, oh my gosh, I haven't thought about this in so long. We go into the room.
So cute.
We get for typing. Do you know about typing where they type people out? You stand in a line.
Yeah.
They look at your headshots, right? And then just based on your headshot and your resume, they choose who even is allowed to audition.
Yeah.
So I was fiddling on the roof.
But they have to make you stand in line to do that. They can't take an online submission and type you out. They make you get up at 6 a.m, these fucking dickwads. Well, I'm going to get, no one will ever book me ever again. Literally some casting director's being like, Ashley is a fucking bitch. No, you're a fucking bitch. Can you not waste my time, please?
They have to know that this is torture to make people go from their devastating apartments in Brooklyn to then take a 50-minute subway ride into Hell's Kitchen to stand in front of an audition studio at 6 a.m. in 20-degree weather and then stand in a room to be told, oh no, actually you're ugly. Can you leave?
It's like, yeah, exactly. By some other very, very sad gay person.
Right. Talking about gay people hurting gay people. So the thing is that Matt is actually, he's gorgeous, beautiful. And so this was obviously not a statement on looks because I had this bushy, Jewy beard. They were casting Fiddler on the Roof. They type me in, right?
Right.
Matt gets typed out. Right. As we leave the room, I'm starting to get my stuff ready. A friend that I went to college with starts talking to me. Matt starts to take his shit and run. I don't have the chutzpah to go up to him and ask for his number. But I remembered that he was right in front of me in line and there was a sign-up sheet with our names on it. So I go to the sign-up sheet. I see his name is Matthew Lummis. I say to myself, Matthew Lummis. It's hummus with an L. Hummus with an L. As I'm leaving the audition, I go to Facebook, tip, tap, 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 tap. Matthew Hummus with an L. Put his name in, he pops up, and then I message him immediately. I was just like, I've been single for a while. I had a devastating breakup like a year before this, and then
I'm so sorry.
It really was like the first love, like, because I'm jealous of you having these even like complicated relationships that were confusing in high school and stuff. I really didn't have a relationship until middle to the end of college, but it was like 0 to 60. I was done for.
Yeah.
So anyways, after that Max and I broke up, I was single for a while. And then I realized I'm ready to date. I'm ready to meet someone great. And then when I found Matt, I messaged him on Facebook. We had a little banter, gave him my number. And then we went out like 5 days later.
That's so cute. Good for you.
Thank you. But I also
always tell make people, a move. Always make a move.
And be transparent. Make the move. Because if they say no, fine. They say no.
And then it wasn't for you. And you are not wasting your time in some limbo trying to figure out what you are to this person. Just 100%. Be upfront. I like you. If they're like, if they think that you're coming on too strong, fuck them. They don't like you enough to be your partner. Move on.
Or it's their own insecurities that they like don't think they accept any, they don't deserve any love, or they think that people are weird if they show that they like someone. It's like, hi, it's actually okay to show that you have feelings for someone.
Of course, of course. Also, confidence, I think, is very attractive to people. So it's probably going to go better than you think.
Yes. And that's, I think, what actually allowed me to land such a beautiful man, which is, I was like, you know what? He's gorgeous. We definitely had a connection. I don't know why he's into me, but I'm just going to run with it. And I was like, my pickup line for the first kiss, we were sitting at Art Bar in Chelsea, amazing makeout spot in New York. If anyone's looking when the pandemic ends, we're sitting on the couches. There's gorgeous people around us. And I have this big beard. I say, so have you ever kissed anyone with a beard before? He goes, no. I say, pause, 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 and then say, that's your cue to kiss me. Instead of kissing me,
instead of like, I am a bottom, but I'm going to tell you what to do right now as
I'm
your
a bossy bottom. So he doesn't do anything. And so I go, that's your cue to kiss me. He then says, quote, you make me nervous.
Oh,
sweet little man. But I got it. We got the kiss. And then, you know, and then I was like, now can we please make out? And then, of course, the confidence made it happen. And then it was good. It was good.
This is so, we're going to have you back on my podcast and you're going to tell this exact same story. I know it, but it's such a great story.
It's just, it's we had no idea where it would go. We've been together for like 7.5 years now. And I think it was just partly like trying to be present in the moment and then just saying, you know what, I think this is going well. If it goes further, great. But I am interested in, because I was listening to your podcast actually very recently and talking about your girlfriend and kind of what your journey has been in terms of sleeping with other people. What has it been like for you with your current situation?
Like, how's my life going with
my girlfriend?
Do
you feel? And yeah, how does it feel to be in this relationship that sounds so healthy?
It's, I maybe... Sometimes I wonder, like, if this is just like a normal relationship and I've just like never experienced what love should be. But yeah, it's so good. It's so crazy good. I've always been in really intense relationships with other really intense people. And I'm very drawn to like qualities that would make someone intense. I like really opinionated people. Like I love art, like debating and arguing. And I don't mind bickering. And I, you know, like sort of people who are driven by their careers, just like things that typically go along with intense qualities. And I'm a really intense person, if you hadn't picked up on that yet. How could that? I literally get on a podcast and I'm like, hey, but I don't even say words on my podcast. But I think I was in all these like relationship after relationship after relationship. And I think that I didn't realize that I love the women that I dated. I'm really glad that I dated them. I didn't realize that I was putting myself in positions that were unhealthy so often. I think that I carry around a lot of guilt, just generally. Like, that's sort of my shtick. Everyone has a shtick. Sure, and mine is I feel guilty about everything all the time. I always think I've done something wrong. I'm apologizing constantly. I know that doesn't really match sort of my comedic demeanor, but truly I constantly feel guilty. Like before this podcast, I was like, I'm fucking late. He's never going to want to talk to me again. He's going to hate me. Like people are late. It happens. You spill seltzer. It happens. Like, you know, like I don't, that part of my brain is not as active as like the self-critic.
I think that's very relatable.
Yeah. I think a lot of people struggle with that. And so I was in these relationships sort of with people that I think my neuroses didn't match with, or my in a good way, but matched really well with in a bad way. And so there was just like a lot of the intensity was not, it was really, really good, but then it could also be really, really bad.
The highs were high, the lows were low.
Yeah. And then when I met Jen, I did not have what I typically have is when I look at someone, I go, I love you. I'm going to be with you the rest of my life like that. Like, but when I saw Jen, I was like, I love you, but I'm in a hoe phase right now. And so we're going to make out. You're so hot. Blah, blah, blah. Like I did not think it would be anything. And so I told her right up front, I was like, I'm not dating right now. I got out of a really hard thing about a year ago. I'm not dating. I'm like doing me. I'm like healing. And she was like, great. Like me too. Sort of similar story. And then we just, it built very slowly. And she's not an intense person. She's like very, very calm all the time. And I didn't realize that what I needed from someone was someone who was like, was able to provide a mirror for me to be like, oh, you're freaking out. Like not her, you're freaking out, you know, like,
yes.
And I think now I'm able to provide the same thing for her because I'm not in my head in the relationship that when she's freaking out, I'm able to be like, you're okay. Like you're freaked. It's all right. You know, like you got it. You're good.
Well, that's the whole idea of the yin and the yang thing of like, it's, I think when people say opposites attract, I think it's part of it I don't agree with, but the other, what I do agree with is that the energies need to complement each other in terms of bringing one energy down or one energy up. And I identify with you in so many ways. I mean, the guilt, the fear of making someone not like you, the doing the wrong. I mean, and then when it happens to you, I'm sure you're feeling this even when you were late, which of course I knew like you're a star and being 3 seconds late, it's fine. But in your head, it's the end of the world. You feel like the alarm bells are going off. And I had a therapist that would say to me, so, why all the drama? And I had to be like, so actually, I don't know. I am unwell. It's like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not okay.
Right. For me, it's like, well, my mother, But that at the end of the day, if you really want to dig down deep enough, I was late and I felt sad about it because of my mother. We could go through all the other steps to get there, but the conclusion's going to be the same every time. But with Jen, I feel like I get where our values very similar. Like the thing, you know, the things that we want out of life, where we see all of that's very equal. The way that I think the opposite thing works is she really needs someone, in my opinion, that I can give a good pep talk. I constantly ask because she's not the type of person that tells. Some people don't like that. Some people don't want you to fucking ask. They want, you know, but Jen appreciates that. And for me, she's just the type of person that listens. She doesn't ask me anything. I just go off and she listens for a minute. And then I'm like, okay, that's all I needed. And I move on.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So
I think we're
opposites in that way.
That's so beautiful to me. Just hearing that makes me happy because sometimes one person needs their partner to pull the things out of them that they're not willing to be pulled out themselves. And then the other person, it's like, I think with Matt and I, we usually are really good about that dynamic. You know, I'm clearly the talker and he is the listener. However, sometimes he needs to be pulled out and have the questions be asked. Where I find it's difficult is knowing when he wants to be asked the questions versus when he wants to be left alone. That's what it's still a process.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. You kind of have to, that's why relationships are hard. You really have to learn and to take stock. And, you know, I dated someone who took me forever, but she was like, when I am crying, do not hug me. I just want to cry.
Wow.
And for me, it took me a long time to just be able to sit there. And if she's crying, like not, cause all you want to do is hug, you know, that's all you want to do when someone cries. But yeah, it's relationships are really hard work.
And people I don't think it's enough acknowledge of how much work relationships can be. I think a lot of times you think, okay, we meet the person, we're together forever and everything is good. It's like, no. It's a daily, weekly, work item that you just have to put love into, put attention into. And if you don't, then you're gonna have an uphill battle.
Yeah. And I also think like doing maintenance, like, cause things faster and resentment builds. So it's just so much easier. Like my girlfriend was really sad yesterday and just the little things of being like, make sure when I text her today to like ask her how she is and if she's still feeling sad, because like by not checking in, that could be make it much worse. And that could, you know, develop the habit of like checking in so that you're not later on this person doesn't feel like abandoned or, you know.
Yeah. Oh, this is good, Ashley. This is good. I mean, it's very true that to try to get in front of the person's needs and wishes, and instead of them being like, you're not giving me what I need and you need to get, versus trying to actually anticipate it.
Right. Once you know it, the person has to tell you. If they're not telling you and you genuinely don't know, that's a little bit on them too.
You
should always be articulating your needs.
So are you, when you two are together hanging out, is there like TV shows or like things that you have shared obsessions over?
Love Island, mate. You don't like Love Island?
Oh, Love Island. I heard.
I do a really bad accent.
I heard Novaland. I was like, okay, Novaland. Sounds like Holland. They like beer. They love a good lager. Love Island, yes.
Love Island, mate.
I'm ashamed to say I'm not a huge Love Island person, but I hear it's very worth getting into.
I couldn't get into it. And I don't know what happened. I think I just turned on subtitles. When I turned on subtitles, I got really into it. I was like, oh, understanding what they're saying is really important. And now I'm much better at understanding what they're saying because those accents are fucking thick. I love Love Island. It is like trash Bachelor, which is really all we want.
And Bachelor is already trashy. So I think this
is already, but in a specific, Bachelor is trashy in like that Missouri woman wearing Uggs who wants to get married way. Love Island is more like Jersey Shore, but like a competition show and also British accents. It's just better. It's better. It makes you feel classy in a weird way because it's British, but you're still watching Jersey Shore.
Yeah, and I think, well, British content in general is having a moment. I mean, the Great British Bake Off.
I love British Bake Off. Oh my God, that is my fucking jam. No pun intended. That was the worst. I'm going to kill myself. I was watching it and I was literally like, I would be okay if my career was just hosting this show. That's where I got to. I was like, if this is all I ever achieve, I'll be totally fine with it.
But honestly, you would be an incredible host because the hosts of that show make it. I mean, there is such a difference. Of course, the people baking the shit make the show really great. But when the hosts come around, did you watch the most recent one with, what's the bald headed gay guy's name? That
I don't remember his name. He's fantastic.
Fantastic. And some of the things they do are so campy and silly, but they work.
They really work.
What about the long hair, black haired guy? What's your opinion?
I think he's great too. And then I Googled him. He throws his voice. He's like a ventriloquist, but he doesn't use puppets, which I think is so awesome because how do you have that skill? I'm really hoping I'm right about this because my girlfriend was like, no, he's not. And I was like, no, he threw his voice. And then I like went and Googled it and I might be making this up. I don't think that I am. It felt like a dream because it's such a hack thing, ventriloquism. People really, but it is also a very cool talent to have. So how do you take this like very overdone, campy, silly, hacky talent and do something interesting with it? And what he does is he takes other people and he puppets people. And it's really funny.
I think I'm having a memory resurface of him. He sometimes slips it into the show, right?
Yes, he slips it into the show. And he's so good that the first time they do it, you're like, what?
Did he?
Yeah, exactly. And British Bake Off is such a great show to do while you're doing something else because you can't really miss anything on the Brit. Somehow the pace is so slow. It's the slowest competition show. You turn around, they are still, there's 3 hours left. You know, you're like, okay, great. I have time to fucking put this in the microwave.
Yeah. And I also love that the stakes of the show are actually kind of deeply low because they win
no cash prize.
They win nothing.
It's purely title. It's just,
but it almost makes it more beautiful and meaningful when they're weeping on camera about not doing as well as they thought they should. But then it's like, wait a minute, if you don't do as well, you're actually kind of in the same place you started.
Yeah, exactly. I also think I'm learning like life lessons because it's never like American competition shows where someone's like, if I win this money, I'm going to open my restaurant and this is the only way that I can cure my dad's cancer. The stakes are very high.
Right.
And it's all about the competition. But for them, they're like, well, I guess you get back on the horse and you're like, oh, all right. Okay.
I'm a nurse. I have a husband and 3 children. Yeah, I'm just happy to be here. It's like, well...
It just feels so much more well-run. Like you're like, oh, you're spiritually well. Okay, got it. Okay.
I also do love the diversity of the show that is not performative or like, it feels like they get really different types of people that it's a very non-issue for them. It's not like
real ass people. They are not trying to make it on social media. They are real ass fucking people.
I think that's a really good point because there's so many people, especially on reality TV right now, where it's clearly storylines that are so heavily produced and trying to be social media moguls that are trying to make their lives have more
of
a drama.
They're trying to get their big break through reality TV, which, you know what? Good for them. Do what you got to do. I totally understand. I have contemplated pretending to be straight to go on The Bachelor way too many times.
Oh, shit.
Isn't that a good idea?
It's a really good idea.
I'm Ashley G. I'm a science teacher.
So wait, what's your end game? What's your end game when you're on The Bachelor pretending to be straight? What happens?
I haven't gotten that far. I'm just thinking about the 10,000 new followers from the first episode.
I'm really just thinking about my social.
I think I'm too gay to just go on. I need like an ex because now people know that I'm gay. Before it would have worked, but now people know. So I think I have to be like, well, I realized I'm bi and I really want to have kids the traditional way. So I thought I don't have much time left. That's why I've applied to The Bachelor. That's my backstory.
That's plausible. I'm also picturing though, like a camera panning of these like very
anonymous suits.
Yes. These like flowy red pastel color dresses, like
extensions, so many extensions.
Yeah, but it's only a shot of there from their knees down, but you still see hair because their extensions are so long. And then and then it pans to you and your stance is very forward. We then get a pan up and it's just Ashley Gavin.
I would really do it. And also I think they'd leave me on for drama reasons because people would be like, Ashley's not here for the right reasons. And I'd be like, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Do you
see yourself on a show like The Bachelor as the person that's really causing drama? Do you think you are capable of causing that drama? The cameras are on you. You need to stir some shit up. Can you do it?
Absolutely, I can. I was built for this task. I am a Scorpio. And also, you might not know this, I'm super obnoxious. People really hate me. I know a lot of people really like me, but oh man, a lot of people really hate me. When I was in college, we had a thing called the Anonymous Confessions Board. Anonymous postings, full thread about whether or not I was funny or just obnoxious. A full fucking thread. So I feel that I don't even have to do anything. I can just be there being my obnoxious New York sarcastic gay ass self, and everyone's gonna be like, what the fuck is this bitch doing here? I think that I have to start drama, because if I don't start drama, I don't think I could win anyone's heart on there.
But I do think I'm picturing like you and Stacey L, and clearly this like sweet Midwestern girl from Michigan is like, I'm just trying to make a good impression on Craig, and then you stop in and you just like completely punch her in the face emotionally, and she's like, I've never met anyone like this girl. I mean, I think you're right.
Probably try to have sex with her.
That's the thing. That's the thing about this whole Bachelor franchise is that they're probably so deeply afraid of having anyone that remotely identifies as bisexual or gay in any way because they're worried about the...
I know. I've wondered about whether or not there's any hooking up between the girls. It has had to have happened at least once.
At least once. Did you...
Guys, honestly...
Well, right. Oh, ooh, right. Fuck. That took me places. Can you imagine all these men trying to get this one girl's heart, but all of a sudden they're hanging out, drinking a beer. Like, yeah, I like the Seahawks too. He's like, wait, I like the Seahawks too. I'm creating a porno script as we speak. I'm so sorry.
And another one's like, I like the Seahawks too.
Three of them.
They're all like, they're just looking at each other. Seahawks has been transformed into penis.
Do you ever want to, I don't know, talk about the Seahawks with me? Yeah, I want to talk about the Seahawks right now. The Seahawks becomes a euphemism for sucking cock. That's the thing about these Bachelor type shows. Did you ever hear about, read about, watch the gay Bachelor that was on Logo that was called like Prince Charming? Or
I thought I watched one on I don't remember what network it was on, but when I was a child, there was like a group of men, half of them were straight, half of them were gay. And there was like a gay bachelor. Is that the one? Which is so fucked up now that I'm thinking about it. Can you imagine you're on a dating show and you're, and then at the end, surprise, I'm straight. And you're like, what the fuck? Like,
you're right. I never actually watched it, but I remember seeing a commercial or hearing about it. And it just felt like obviously manipulation on these reality shows is kind of real, but that just seems like that seems immoral.
Totally unacceptable today. At the time I was an actual child, so I didn't realize how horrible that was. It is so just wrong, especially not to know, not to be told half of the contestants are straight. They have to tell you that. They have to.
It feels like full on emotional torture to these people. I mean, there is even like right now on RuPaul's Drag Race, there's the whole beginning of the season was them telling them you're going to be eliminated the first before you even get to compete. And so they send this person home and she's like in the confessional and she's weeping. And she's like, I just feel like I let my fiance down. And she's so, and you're watching her just like, I cannot believe this is happening. It turns out they were lying. She wasn't being sent home and she gets to stay to compete. So these producers are like, wow. So you spent probably $100,000 on all your costumes. You just got here after months of preparation and you have to go home on the first day. How do you feel? And she's like, I feel like I let my fiance down. And they're like, just kidding. You're staying.
Oh God. It's evil. But do you want to be famous? Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's like, I mean, I would still probably do it, but it is evil. It's straight up evil.
Evil. The show I was talking about is called Finding Prince Charming. It was this gay type bachelor show, and the actual bachelor as the center was a complete monster, ended up coming out to be very problematic, and they never did a second season. So maybe the experiment doesn't work. I think it could work though. Do you think a gay
absolutely any- they just need to figure out what the look. If everyone's hooking up behind the scenes, fine. If you like meet some other contestant and you two are compatible, they should be able to factor that into the gameplay somehow. You know what I mean? Or maybe make it not centered on one person. It's so easy to like figure yes. out how to do it. If I just love that the whole thing comes down to fidelity. It's so interesting that you're like, yeah, but like, what if they hook up with one another? It's like this one bachelor is hooking up with these 25 women. There's no fidelity on this yeah. show. What are you talking about? So, but
well, that's a-
for some reason, they get to break the rules because they're like the king of the fuck. They're the protagonist or whatever. But make it an ensemble show. I don't know. I figure it out.
And like what? So let's say like seven couples find love, and then they like is that the worst thing to happen? You find all these people get to leave with partners, or at least have amazing sex with each other. Great.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Everybody wins. What do you? Yeah, I mean, you could do it like Love is Blind style, where it's just like you're like all rotating and.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then you could switch off seasons, women and men, or like if
I devoured Love is Blind, devoured that show.
I adored it. I loved it.
I hear they filmed a second season, or I at least I think it's going to happen. And I think we're going to have you back on the podcast after that comes out, and we're going to break it down because that show, I mean, I still will still quote,
I lost my butterflies.
It's like, you can't, the people, the unhinged people on that show.
But what are the two, her last name Speed. I can't remember her first name. The interracial couple, the white guy and the black
Cameron.
Yeah. Oh, I love them. They are so wonderful. And then obviously the redheaded guy and his Gianna.
Yeah.
Giovanni, whatever.
The butterfly girl. Just unhinged craziness.
Yeah. She was that. Oh man. Watching her was great. Watching her was wonderful. Also, the way that she sexually abused him, where she
yes.
This is not funny. There's nothing funny about this, but also it's hysterical. The way she was like, I just want you to take me. Like, you never, he's like, I don't know. I'm interested more in loving consent. And she's like, you're a fucking little pussy ass bitch.
Be a man and force. It's like, okay, girl, you're doing this in front of a camera. What do you like without the cameras there?
Yeah, totally.
Full on unhinged. Well, I want to say that there's so much of your stuff that I would just want to let you know is so brilliant. I mean, I watch one of your the way you do videos on TikTok is so funny. If you're not following Ashley on TikTok, it's so good. One of the clips you posted recently was one of your shows where there was a girl that was like on her watch or on her phone during your set. And you're like, who are you talking to? And it turns out she was getting a notification from another comedian.
Who was
on the show.
And that also happened to be named Ashley, just because it's a little confusing in the clip.
Oh, sure. So one of my favorite moments is you were like, you know, bantering with her, and you said, okay, what's your name, Madison? And then she goes, her name was Lauren, and you said, oh, Jewish Madison. I need you to know it's so fucking funny, and just the magic that you get to put in your shows like that and on enough for TikTok for us to enjoy. If you're not following her on TikTok, it's so good. What is your relationship to TikTok? And I know you go live a lot. Like, I want to quickly hear about like what is it like?
I'm in an abusive relationship with TikTok, where TikTok changed my life. Period. I don't want to act like I have achieved anywhere near that I am looking to achieve, and that I am anything but a piece of shit. But prior to TikTok, I was an even bigger piece of shit. So. TikTok, I went viral on TikTok, which helped my podcast. And then I like kept going viral on TikTok, and I was like, oh, I think I'm like good at TikTok. I love TikTok because I think more so, not perfectly, but more so than other platforms, it actually can somehow detect what people actually like watching versus someone who has a lot of followers, so they were able to get the ball rolling on the algorithm. And then you're watching like okay stuff. Mm-hmm. But like TikTok seems to really understand what people like or what people hate. It's very interesting. Basically, a visceral reaction.
I have had both ends of the spectrum. The TikTok journey for me is early, but I've had videos that have gone big in a very nice way. But I had a Trump video that was a very silly joke I made, and I had to delete it after a couple months because I was getting hate messages daily, hourly.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yes, I get that. Well, I'm with you. I get a lot of shit.
I can't imagine.
I just ignore it. But yeah, so it's been great. It's like transformed my podcast and my life. But the cool thing about TikTok is I'm pretty good at crowd work. And the reason I'm good crowd work for the listener is either someone heckles you and you like engage them as a comedian, or you're just like, what do you do for a living? And then they tell you and then you make jokes about it. I always poo-pooed it. I always used it as a tool, like, oh, this audience sucks. I'm going to crowd work them. And so I can do my brilliant material, or like I'll be on tour and the circumstances are horrible. You're performing for four people in an open working cafeteria with the lights on. Ugh. And people are like doing their homework in the back. Like, truly, I don't know if you've experienced an environment like that, but they are. That type of environment, like broad daylight performance, is really with like other things happening around you. Cause sometimes the advisors will be like, well, we really wanted people to see you, so we put you in this hallway between two busy lecture halls. And you're like, please just put me in the black box theater. I don't care that only 15 kids are coming. Let's just make it good for those kids. But yes. Instead, they put you in the cafeteria behind the chicken nugget lady. So you're literally trying to perform while all of this is happening. So I got very lucky. I started touring colleges so early in my career that I just frankly did not have the chops or the material to get through these. And frankly, no one has the chops and the material to get through these horrible conditions. So what you do is you just do crowd work because it's the only thing that will engage the crowd and keep them present. So I have just literal hours of tape with so much crowd work on it. What do you do with it? Nothing. There's literally nothing you can do with it. And then TikTok. And I was like, oh, why don't I put some of my crowd work on TikTok? It goes super viral, so much more viral than my material. My material does well, but the crowd work does much better. And then I was like, oh my God, there is such a beautiful relationship between this actual skill that I treat like, you know, I kind of look down on it. I was like, what is this even for? This isn't real art. Like, no one cares about this. Like, what can you do with this? And now I'm like, oh no, like you harnessed a skill that maybe no one fucking appreciated, but now the internet does.
Yeah.
So now I'm thinking I'm going to do in New York, once it's a little warmer, I'm going to do all crowd work shows where people just come and I'm going to do like half an hour of crowd work and put them up on my YouTube and TikTok every week.
That is so
amazing.
Good. I think that's brilliant. I will be at these shows. I mean, it's because you're watching.
You do a set.
Yes, absolutely.
You don't have to do crowd work.
Well, the thing is, actually, a job that I would do before the pandemic was tour guiding stuff, which was half of it was crowd work. And
that's crowd work. Yeah,
and I do events now as a little day job moment where I'm leading events online for different companies. It's trivia, it's whatever, it's silly, but half the thing is crowd work as well. And I think there's just like an electricity to having reactions to real people, and they not only feel special, but they like getting roasted a bit. And the way you do it is just so brilliantly raw and honest. And you're coming from a place of love, but there's also
stuff. I'm a bitch.
You're kind of a bitch about it. I mean, it's like, I can't love it more. I can't wait for that show. And I really will just tell anyone who will listen about you and your podcast and your TikTok.
So much. You're really so kind.
You are. And for
and
being
they
here.
They should know how talented you are.
Thank you.
You are a brilliantly talented actor. And I'm not sure that you have been cast in anything where you really get to let the world know about that. But like you should be, because you are so talented. And actors are so fucking underappreciated because there are so many bullshit comedians like me who are fine, who are gonna book the role because there's no heavy lifting and there's no, you know what I mean? Like, but you really does. I really hope for you that it happens soon, and thank it will happen. I believe
it's gonna happen at some point. Just the stars are gonna align, and just like it's happening for you, it's where I'm just, you know, you're a fucking star, and I'm just excited to see what more amazing things you get to do. So thank you for being here, Ashley. Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Make sure you subscribe, give us a 5-star review, and send me that DM of your subscription because I want to send you some Chromatica Oreos. I hear they are just okay. Follow us on Instagram at Gay Ass Podcast, and I'll see you next time.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.